Our reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 52, beginning to read at verse 13 and going through to chapter 53, verse 3. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Thank you, Wendy. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the elders here, and it's great to be with you this morning. We're normally 9:30 people, so very nice to be here. As we begin, I'm going to pray that God would help us as we look at his word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, please open our eyes this morning to the reality that lies behind appearances. Help us to see, whether for the first time or in a way that is strengthened and refreshed, help us to see and feel the wonder of Jesus Christ as he really is, in his humility, his love, and in his victory. Amen. Amen. Well, £45 was the price paid in a London bric-a-brac shop for this painting of a peasant woman and farmhouse. The year before, it had been sold for even less, only £4, as part of a clearing out sale from a farm in Lancashire. The painting had been in the family for quite a few years, and apparently it was in the attic, taking up space, entirely unwanted. But in that shop, it was spotted by a man who thought he recognized the style. And sure enough, after checking with experts, it was verified as a very early Vincent van Gogh. And at its last sale, its most recent sale in 2020, it went for more than 15 million euros. On these Sunday mornings leading up to Easter, we are looking at the servant songs in Isaiah. They were written some 700 years before Christ, at a point when God's people had turned away from him. And so a lot of the prophet's message is Isaiah announcing God's verdict, God's punishment upon them, that they would soon be conquered and taken away into exile. But in what the prophet says, there is also great hope, especially about a figure called the servant, who would one day come and who would rescue and restore. And what we're going to see in Isaiah this morning is that, like this Van Gogh painting in the bric-a-brac shop, the servant who would come was going to be spectacularly undervalued. He would be viewed as unimpressive, unattractive, unpromising. He would be entirely unwanted. And yet, the servant would be, nonetheless, the savior that the whole world needs. Now, of course, for us reading now, we know who the servant is, because Jesus Christ, when he came, perfectly fulfilled all that the prophet had said, including this. Jesus was so humble, so lowly, so unimpressive in many ways. And yet, at the same time, he's the glorious triumphant rescuer. So this is a passage to help us value Jesus correctly, which I guess will hit us in a couple of different ways, depending on how you've come to church this morning. On the one hand, some of you may never have recognized the true worth of Jesus Christ. You hear about him, not impressed though, not persuaded, no thanks. Well, think about that Lancashire farmer putting out this painting for £4, not realizing that he was missing the greatest treasure of his life. Imagine how he must have felt later on. This is a passage to help you avoid making the same mistake with Jesus, to see through unimpressive appearances to the treasure that is truly there. For others of us here, I guess we'd say that we have recognized Jesus and we have recognized his value. But if we're honest, we don't always feel the joy of that, do we? Maybe it's because those around us generally have a much lower view of Jesus than we do. Or maybe it's because our eyes are caught by other shinier things. And we think, is Jesus really so great? Even if we wouldn't say it, we can feel that sometimes. We speak about the good news of Jesus, but we don't always feel that goodness. But again, think about that man in the bric-a-brac shop as he sees the painting. And even though other people didn't value it, he begins to see the beauty. And he begins to wonder, is that? It is. Oh my goodness, this is absolute treasure. That's the feeling that this passage can help us to feel again as we look at Jesus and see him as he really is. That's a very simple point that Isaiah makes. I've summed it up in one sentence on the service sheets on the back there. The servant wins a glorious rescue through his own humiliation. The servant wins a glorious rescue through his own humiliation. The structure of the fourth servant song makes that point really clearly. So here are the four songs. We've looked through the first three already over the last month or so, and we're in number four today, song four. And it's made up of five parts, which we can see on the next slide there. So five chunks of three verses each. This morning, we've got the first two chunks, so the first six verses, and then the next few chunks we're going to be looking at in the services over the coming week. So Thursday and Friday, and then Easter morning, we'll finish it. But we've got the first two chunks. And what we see in the structure is that the song begins and ends with victory. Let's just see that in our passage. If you look down at chapter 52, verse 13, please, the start of what Wendy read. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. And then if you look, please, over the page at the very end of the song, chapter 53, verse 12, the final chunk, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. There are those matching bookends. And then in the middle, the song comes in, focusing on the humiliation and the suffering of the servant. He wins and he saves through his humiliation. That's what the passage is saying. That's what the whole song shows us, and also our first little bit this morning. So let's dive in and have a look. It starts, as I said, with the first of those bookends. The servant wins a glorious rescue. Let's read again. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. Right up front, we see that God approves his servant. No matter how it might look later on, we've seen right at the start that this is God's verdict. The servant is wise. He shall be high and lifted up, exalted. In the end, he shall shut the mouths of kings. That means that he will triumph in a way that means that everyone, no matter how powerful, can only stop and stare. The servant wins a glorious victory. And verse 15 shows us what kind of victory it is, that it's a rescue. Isaiah says that the servant will sprinkle many nations. Now, in Old Testament thought, to sprinkle is an act of cleansing that makes things clean before God and fit for his presence. So, for example, in the tabernacle or the temple, that the priests and their utensils had to be sprinkled with special oil or with blood or water to make them ceremonially clean and fit for God's service. Or when Israelites had been having to live outside of the camp, away from God's people and where God symbolically lived among them, when they were coming back in, again, the law said they had to be sprinkled to show that they were clean and acceptable again to live amongst God's people and with God. This sprinkling that Isaiah's talking about is the rescue that every single person needs, all of us. Because through the whole book, Isaiah has been speaking about how God's people and all the nations, everyone in the world, has turned away from the Creator God. And so we're unclean in his sight. We have loved and trusted other things instead of him. And so we're unclean, we're separated and cut off from him. As Isaiah puts it elsewhere, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And then Isaiah explains how it's this self-trust, this idolatry, this separation between us and God that then leads to all the perhaps more visible, more obvious problems in the world, the lying, the injustice, the anger. And it's also an eternal problem. Because to live separated from God is one thing, but to die separated from him is what the Bible calls hell. So this then is the global problem of sin, which the servant victoriously solves as he sprinkles men and women, bringing forgiveness, cleansing, a fresh start, and a restored relationship with God. And see, if you look down who the sprinkling is for, verse 15, he will sprinkle many nations. The rescue is not just for the Jews who had known God before, it is for many, which means it's for us. Which asks us the question this morning, whether we have thought honestly about how things are, how things rightly are between us and God, this idea of being separated from him, unclean, because of how we treat him. You could picture it very simply like this, that we're made to, if you like, live in the light of God's friendship and love, to know him. But because of how we treat him and how we treat other people, our sins are like a barrier that cut us off from him. The relationship is broken. What we're seeing here, though, is the solution to that, the sprinkling that Jesus came to bring. That's what our servant song is all about, that the price that Jesus paid to take away this barrier. If you look over, it's right in the heart of it. It's not in our passage, but in verse 6 of chapter 53, in that central bit that there's, in many ways the song builds up to, it could not be more simply put. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, when he came, the servant, the Lord Jesus, he lived a perfect life. He never rebelled against his father or looked elsewhere. He always lived in perfect relationship with him. And yet on the cross, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was cut off from God, separated from his father on the cross in a way, as he faced that punishment for us, which leaves us sprinkled, clean, able to know God again. In friendship and relationship, the servant wins a glorious rescue. It's very personal, us being brought back into relationship with God, but actually it's bigger than that. It's bigger than just God rescuing men and women. It's a global thing. The servant wins this victory that fixes everything, not just people being put right with God, but all things. So a couple of chapters later, Isaiah will say, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. Isaiah's poetry describes not just people put right with God, but a whole world put right, something like a new creation. That is the rescue that the servant wins. So he must be quite a hero. I mean, if this is the scale of the victory that he wins, he must be super, super impressive. Well, no. So looking at the rest of our passage, Isaiah gives us the surprising news that the servant wins a glorious rescue through his own humiliation. I don't want to overcomplicate this because it's right there in what Isaiah says. Even though the servant is the hero, he does not look it. Because for one thing, his appearance is unattractive. Have a look down, please, at 53 verse 2. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. And it gets worse in the bit at the end of chapter 52. It talks about the suffering of the servant, that he will be so marred as to be barely recognizable as human. His appearance is so unattractive. And also, his message is unheeded. If you look at verse 15, even though the kings in the end, when they see the servant exalted in the end, they're silent before him, it's a shock because the servant, his message is not something they had heard before. He wasn't the big news, the thing that everyone was talking about. Or into verse 1 of chapter 53, even those who had heard, who believed it, said Isaiah. His message was unheeded. And reading on, his origins were so unpromising. Verse 2, he's like a root out of dry ground. Sometimes you meet a young person or a child and you think, wow, this guy's really going places. This young person is really going places. It could be because of the family they're from or because of what they're achieving at school or in sport or in music. They've just got success written all over them from a young age. Not so the servant. He's a nobody from nowhere. So unpromising. And then look at verse 3. The servant is deeply unpopular. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Unattractive, unheeded, unpromising, unpopular. This person could not look less like the victorious rescuing hero. And yet the servant is the one who wins the glorious rescue. And he does it through his own humiliation. Think about how Jesus fulfills this. He was a nobody from nowhere, wasn't he? Born into poverty, under questionable family circumstances. He's born into a working life. He looked like an ordinary bloke. He didn't, you know, have the good hair and the film star jawline. When they came to arrest him, the people needed Judas to point him out because he didn't stand out from the crowd in that way. I mean, it's that guy. Okay. Later on, after he'd been beaten by the soldiers with his eyes swollen shut. Wait, that is the victorious winner, that piece of meat stumbling up the road under the weight of his own cross, all bloodied. That's him. Yes, that's him. Jesus belittled by Pilate and Herod. He was just a sideshow for them, so much less important than their other affairs of state. Or Jesus, who described his own message as being like a little seed that goes out, seeming so weak. He truly was a man of sorrows. And yet, through his humiliation, in his life and in his death, Jesus was the rescuing, heroic servant who would be punished on the cross to save the world, and then raised to new life again that first Easter Sunday. And then we'll see it finally, fully, in the end, when he returns. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. the servant wins a glorious rescue through his own humiliation. Now, where does all this leave us? Well, as we've already sung this morning, when we see the humility of Jesus, when we see what it cost him to be the rescuing servant, it leads us to say, and maybe hopefully also to feel, hallelujah, what a savior. Jesus chose to accept humiliation and suffering. He didn't have to be a man of sorrows. He chose to be, which if you think about it, is incredible. Think about the time we all spend avoiding pain and suffering, trying to look better in front of other people, or at least try not to look bad. Jesus chose to become a man of sorrows that he might sprinkle many nations. Hallelujah. What a savior. Think about his birth again, right into the deep end of a fallen world. His life, as he had to bear patiently with people who wouldn't listen, wouldn't understand, people who were hostile towards him, even though he loved them and had made them. Think about Jesus letting himself be arrested and taken, or letting himself be tried. We hate it when people say things about us that are untrue or unfair. You know, if someone implies that you haven't done something that you should have done, we get defensive. We make sure that everybody knows we have done that. Thank you very much. Jesus didn't defend himself. With people telling outright lies, he let it happen. And all of that's before we even reach the cross. Whereas we'll sing in a moment, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. The servant's ultimate sprinkling was with his own blood, facing our punishment to leave us cleansed. Hallelujah. What a savior. As we read this passage, the character of Jesus shines. There is just such strength in his humility, such love in his willingness to bear humiliation and suffering for others. Have a look back. The very last verse of our passage, please. Verse 3. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah includes himself in that, and so should we. We are people who treat God so ungratefully, and yet in response, he lovingly pays the price so that we can be forgiven. Hallelujah. What a savior. And all the passage is asking us to do is look. Behold. That's how it starts, isn't it? Behold. Look. Look at the servant. That's the instruction if you're here and you're not yet sure about Jesus. Look at what he's like. In many ways, he does seem unimpressive, but behind that appearance is the reality of his humility in strength, his loving self-sacrifice. The life he lived and the death he died to sprinkle you if you will trust in him. Think about that life he offers, sin removed, the barrier gone. That's what he paid for. That's what he offered. Look at Jesus. Do you see his value? It's not always obvious, but it's tremendous treasure when you see it clearly. Or if you're here and you say you're already a convinced Christian, the instruction is still the same. Look at the servant. For those times when our hearts are cooler than they should be, or when our eyes are caught by other things, look at the servant. Look at the patient, loving, strong humility of Jesus that shines. Or when you feel out of step with those around you, worrying that it's us who's got it wrong in valuing Jesus so highly. Maybe if you're the only Christian in your family or your place of work, look at the servant and see that that's always how it was going to be. The servant who looks weak, even though he isn't. or if you know how it feels maybe to be embarrassed about Jesus, if you know that speaking about him or being known as a Christian will reduce your status, look at the servant. Look at how much he was willing to give up in terms of his status for you. Or if you're being treated unfairly, conscious of the pain of that, people saying things about you or thinking less of you, look at the servant and take heart. He knows what that feels like. You have fellowship with him in that trial. He understands the pain of it, but also the power of what patient endurance can bring in the end. Well, lastly, and in some ways most of all, if you are someone here this morning who is conscious of your own sin, of the ways that you've treated God poorly or other people poorly, look at the servant. Look again at the price that Jesus paid, because it was not a small price. He chose to be a man of sorrows so that he might sprinkle all who trust in him. And so trust him for it. Recognize this week that what was separating you from God has been laid on him. He paid the price to set us free, to live that life this week, knowing God, enjoying friendship, fellowship in the light of his love. As we finish, I'm going to read some verses there. The last verses from the end of the fourth song. So chapter 53, verse 12. I just thought Isaiah sums it up so nicely. So I'm going to read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll sing. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Lord, we thank you for these promises here in Isaiah of a servant who would come to lay down his life to rescue his people and to put things right. And Lord, we thank you that you kept every single one of these promises in your Son, the Lord Jesus, when he came. We thank you for all the ways we've thought about in which he was willing to accept the pain of that mission, in his birth, his life, his death. Thank you for the humility, the gentleness, the patience of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for his exaltation, that the weakness and humility in some ways was only apparent, that you have raised him up. Lord, please help us to see clearly what Jesus is really like, to see clearly his true value, and to feel that this week, whoever we are. Please would we see his character shining and love him more and follow him more closely. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.